Rod's Pulse Podcast number 26, report from EduCause and Podcasting with Blackboard.
This is Rod's Pulse Podcast, the podcast for faculty and students interested in learning how to use and create podcasts and other e-learning technologies. Welcome back.
Well, that's a little different for Rod's Pulse Podcast, a country song. I'm playing this in honor of visiting Dallas, Texas last week for the EduCause 2006 conference. Yeah, that was a little clip from a song called Heartaches and Roses by Cameron Tyler from the PodSafe Music Network. You can listen to the full country song at the end of my podcast. EduCause, if you don't know, is a large nonprofit organization whose mission is to advance higher education by promoting the intelligent use of information technology. It was a pretty large meeting. There were over 7,000 attendees. Dallas could handle it well. I must say the logistics were great. A lot of good speakers. Their Tuesday keynote was Vinton G. Cerf, who unlike Al Gore, is probably the real inventor of the internet. He's now Vice President and Chief Internet Evangelist at Google. A lot of Google news I'll be telling you about shortly. On Wednesday, Ray Kurzweil was the keynote speaker. He's the founder and chairman and CEO of Kurzweil Technologies. He's a genius inventor who gave a very interesting talk about the exponential growth of technology and how technology will hopefully solve all of the world's problems in the future. And he's well known, of course, for his musical synthesizer, text-to-speech synthesis. He said he predicted 10 years ago that he would have a handheld device for blind people that would allow them to point it at a book and read the page. And he unveiled it at this meeting and gave a live demo. And it was pretty impressive, if you can imagine a what looked like a fairly large digital camera pointing it at an open book. It would give audio feedback to the user, making sure that they centered the page in the field of view of the camera. They click a button, and within seconds, they got an English translation, synthesized voice speaking the text. So, quite impressive. And for those of you who want to dig deeper into Ray Kurzweil, he has quite an interesting website at kurzweilai.com. As always, I'll have URLs for everything I talk about on my show notes at www.rodspulsepodcast.com. So if you want to see some photos from EduCause, you can go to Flickr. I have a URL on my blog which points you to Flickr. Flickr, if you don't know, is another social website which is organized around digital photos that users can upload themselves. Users that were there at EduCause and tagged their photos with EduCause 2006 have their images on display. So I want to talk about some of the news that I learned about while I was at EduCause. Some of it is directly related to Blackboard, which I'll cover in a moment. On Monday, I heard that Google bought YouTube. YouTube I've talked about a couple of times on my podcast. An article in the San Francisco Chronicle says that last week at a Denny's in California, the co-founders of YouTube, Chad Hurley and Steve Chen, met with Google Chief Executive Officer Eric Schmidt and its co-founder Larry Page, and they finalized their stock deal on Monday, which resulted in Google's largest acquisition to date, paying over $1.6 billion for YouTube. So this will be a very interesting development. YouTube has been by far the most popular Web 2.0 site where anyone can upload their own videos. And of course, there's a lot of commercial videos up there as well that, that people have uploaded. So that'll be interesting to see how that works out. A lot of people are skeptical, I think, about the price they paid for it, but Google seems to be pretty sharp about these sorts of things. We'll see what happens. The other Google news is that Google has been promoting their apps for education. And I went to a local presentation a couple weeks ago here in Philadelphia about Google Apps for Education. They're making available Google services such as Gmail, which I use personally for my personal email. It's a great product. Google Talk, which is instant messaging and also includes voice messaging. And Google Calendar, which is another excellent product. And the fourth item in their web apps for education is Google Page Creator. It's a way to create and publish web pages quickly and easily with a WYSIWYG website design tool. So anyway, Google is making a foray into the education arena by bundling these apps and making them available free for educational institutions. Now, Google is also partnering with Blackboard. Blackboard recently announced that they've joined the Google Enterprise Professional Program, becoming the first member of the program to focus primarily on educational institutions. Quote, as a Google partner, Blackboard is launching a series of efforts to enhance search capabilities for students and faculty at thousands of academic institutions around the globe. At the EDUCAUSE meeting, they were promoting two new building blocks for Blackboard. One is a system called Google Scholar Building Block, and it's available free of charge. We hope to install this pretty soon on our Pulse Blackboard system. This allows users to leverage the Google Scholar application and specifically to allow instructors to construct queries for their students to execute in Google Scholar and to browse Scholar from within the course environment in Blackboard and to add content directly from Google Scholar into the course sites on Blackboard. The second building block they announced, which is also free, is called Blackboard OneBox Module. Now it's free, but this assumes you have the Google search appliance. It's something that the hospital is currently using here at Jefferson to search within the hospital and the university website, so it's something we're planning to look into. It allows then a Google search to be done within the confines of the Blackboard system. So this is very exciting, a welcome development. Folks have been clamoring for a much better way to search content within the Blackboard environment. That concludes the news from EDUCAUSE 2006. What I'd like to do now is move on to an interview I did, one of two interviews I did while attending EDUCAUSE 2006. I'm here again on the floor of the EDUCAUSE 2006 convention, and I have the pleasure of interviewing Hal Herzog, who's the Vice President of Product Development of Learning Objects. You might recall I interviewed Hal, I think it was back in May. We talked about their various learning object tools, the blogging and wiki tools that they had. And back then, they talked about, of course, my interest was in podcasting, and there were a number of things, there were some irons in the fire there. And I found out that they've come to fruition. And anyway, Hal, I'd like to thank you for taking some time out to talk to us. And I wonder if you could tell us about your efforts with the podcasting module you have in Learning Objects.
Sure. And it's good to be here, and it's good to not be speaking over a phone this time. We have a suite of applications for Blackboard called Campus Pack, and they're social learning applications. We were contacted by University of Nebraska-Lincoln and Dartmouth College to work on a project to add podcasting into Blackboard as an additional tool. So after looking at the specifications and contributing to them, we built that, and it has recently reached fruition. That is now Podcast LX. It's available from us, from our website, and it adds podcasting to Blackboard, as the name implies. We've set it up in such a way that it's just like adding course content. That is, you don't really need to know or think about what RSS is. You certainly don't need to have iTunes U or even know what an iPod is or have an iPod. Simply add content into the system, and then if an instructor wants, they can share out their podcast feed with the entire world or with a subset.
How does it appear to the user? Do they have to go to a specific folder in a course, or is there some way that they can see a list of all the podcasts that might be available to them?
As a student, when you go into a course, there are two ways that you can see the podcasts that are going on. Number one, since it's course content, you can simply browse around your course and notice that some items have the podcast icon. You can then click on the link and listen to that particular episode or lecture. In addition, we built a tool that sits in the communications area, and you can promote that up to the main menu, which will show all of the podcasted lectures within that course, regardless of where they happen to be sitting.
That's really sounds like a great way to do it. You know, when I started podcasting, I always assumed that a podcast meant that you subscribed to it and that you downloaded it to your MP3 player, your iPod. Recently, I've seen statistics that show that probably about 65 to 70% of people actually just listen to the file right from their desktop computer. So that seems to be a good way to do it. What if a student or, let's say, a faculty member did regular podcasts and they want to make it available for students to use on an iPod? Is that still possible with your system?
Make it available to students using an iPod? Absolutely. And I'll admit that I'm one of those people who does listen to podcasts simply by clicking on the link rather than using iTunes. That's because when I started looking into podcasts, I just didn't have iTunes installed or anything like that. You can use an RSS link and drag that into your favorite podcast aggregator, podcatcher, be it iTunes or Juice. We also have a special button that says iTunes creatively, that when you click on it, will automatically add that particular podcast into iTunes. In addition to that, we also have a portal module for those who have community system that shows all of the podcasts and all of your classes. And again, you can click on a button there to listen to an individual lecture or drag that into iTunes.
Well, it sounds like you've covered all the features that I've been looking for. We've had at Jefferson, we created our own little portal module that basically, you know, was a XML to HTML converter, and we would get a feed and be able to people would be able to click on either the blog link or the podcast. But that had to be done on you know, a case by case basis, and it wasn't, you know, it's not available to all faculty to do it, to automate that. So this looks like a great feature. Can you tell us a little bit about the availability? Is this available now? Is there a trial version? Is it bundled with your other products?
This is going to be released as part of Campus Pack 2.7. 2.7 is in late beta right now and will be released shortly. Podcast LX will be the newest and fifth tool added to that suite. Right now, what you can do is go to our website and get Podcast LX in beta form. You can also contact us if you wanted access to it. And all of our software has free evaluations, so you can simply install it and be up and running. And those are fully featured. They're not crippled in any way.
Can you tell us what the pricing is going to be for Podcast LX at this point?
Well, our Campus Pack suite is priced based upon FTEs, so I can't give you specific numbers. I can say that for all the institutions that already have Campus Pack, we're simply adding in Podcast LX for no additional charge. If you wanted to buy a separate application, it would be the same price as if you wanted to buy just Teams LX or just Search LX.
Okay, that's great. I think I just have two more questions. One, is there anything you would like to let us know about what's coming down the pike further? We just came from a talk by Dr. Kurzweil about the rapid changes that are happening in technology. Anything you want to point to that's coming down the pike in your company?
Well, it's a good thing most of the listeners weren't in there, because that's a really tough act to follow. I can tell you what's coming up in terms of where we're taking the podcast product. We're, of course, going to enhance it, adding things like a record button. Right now, you need to upload your processed MP3 file or movie into it. Some people just want a big record button, so we'll add that in there. We'll also add in a player, so instead of clicking the link and listening to it in Winamp or QuickTime, you can listen to it directly inside of Blackboard. And that's some features that other sites like Evoca already have. We're also going to be letting students get in the game as well. So the Podcast LX product allows instructors to add podcasts into Blackboard. Our Expo product already allows students to have their own blogs and wikis and share them out. We'll add in an additional type of site, if you will, in Expo terms, allowing students to have their own podcast, actually as many podcasts as they want, and share those out with other people as well. That'll be coming a little further down the line, but it's coming soon.
Well, that's great to know. It's another good reason for us to make sure we have a pretty beefy SAN set up with a lot of storage space for all this content. Just one last question. I wonder if there's anything that you've seen here at the meeting that impressed you, maybe something outside of your company that you're excited about in educational technology.
To be honest, I've been tied to my booth for most of the conference. However, I did get to see another podcast presentation. One of the things I found fascinating is that students at the end of a class or near exam times are perfectly willing to listen to the past lectures that are in podcast, which seems quite obvious, but they weren't willing to listen to it at regular speed. So students tended to crank it up to 1.5 or two times speed and listen to the lectures just to get an overview again. And we'll see if we can find a way to do that automatically in Podcast LX as well.
That's an interesting feature. I know the MP3 player I'm using right now that does have the ability to speed it up, so I can see why students might want to do that, especially if the professor is a bit long-winded. Anyway, Hal, I want to thank you again very much for taking the time out to talk to us, and maybe we'll see you at the next meeting.
Thanks.
I hope you enjoyed this episode today. Stay tuned for my next podcast when I'll have another interview that I did at the EDUCAUSE conference.
That's it for today's episode. Thank you very much for listening. Please don't forget to leave Rod feedback. You can go to www.rodspulsepodcast.com and leave comments on his blog. You can send feedback to his email address, rod@rodspulsepodcast.com. You can also send audio feedback by calling into his comment line at 610-616-2199. Till next time, have a great week.
Sorry as you think of what to say, so you grab a dozen roses on the way. Now I've got memories full of heartaches and roses, and I'm tired of the way you do me wrong. Next time you break my heart, you don't need to say you're sorry, just leave a note that says you're gone. The next time that you go home with her, you better ask if you can stay, 'cause you won't have a place to go like you did today. And if she'd like some roses, I can spare her one or two, but I'm sure that she'll be getting some from you. Well, I've got memories full of heartaches and roses, and I'm tired of the way you do me wrong. Next time you break my heart, you don't need to say you're sorry, just leave a note that
the preceding audio commentary is the product of the author, Dr. Rodney Merry, and does not represent the official viewpoint of Thomas Jefferson University, or any other institution or company.